Okay. All right. We're at Exodus. Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5, verse 22 is where we'll start, and then we'll read that and open up in prayer. Exodus 5, verse 22. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he had done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Father, we thank you for another opportunity as we continue our studies in Exodus and with Moses. We thank you for recording these things, and we pray as we approach them, as always, for more insight and enlightenment as we read these things. We thank you for all those listening. Pray that our hearts and minds might be strengthened as well as edified as we read these things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay. Well, we were looking last week where God is preparing Moses to send him to Pharaoh. And what we'll do is go back, we'll look at chapter 3 and verse 8, where God has gotten Moses' attention through the bush. And chapter 3, verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land into a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So we see that God is preparing Moses to go to Pharaoh. He's seen what's going on with the Egyptians, and we talked about the timetable of 400 years. So God is on schedule. You know, that reminds me of, it's an old song. Older people would sing the song. I remember this from my grandmother's church. And Johnny might remember this. Casey might remember this. Well, some of you guys might remember this, but mostly it's, I associate it with the black church. He's an on-time God. Anybody remember that song? He's an on-time God. Yes,
he is.
Yes,
he is.
He may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. The Egyptians, the Israelites, the Hebrews, they are waiting for deliverance. 400 years, we saw, it's a long time. And they're waiting so long that they have forgot who the God of their fathers was. Chapter 3, we'll pick it back up at verse 10. Come now, God tells Pharaoh, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. God tells Moses, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee. He's not doing this on his own. He is going to be sent and backed by God, by Jehovah. 13, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. And God said, moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. So God is visiting his people. Well, he's coming down to visit them, and that visitation is actually a deliverance, a redemption, to bring them out of bondage into his land, the land that he promised them. And with this visitation, we're going to see it's accompanied with proof of who God is. When he says, I am that I am, it's proof that he's able to do what he said he could do, which is to bring them out. Chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. So they will question Moses, his apostolic position, being sent from God. So God has to prove that he's able to deliver them. God has to prove that Moses is his spokesman, that he did send Moses, that he is backing Moses. Verse 2 says, and the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and he plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the second sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And so we see now God has given Moses three verses, but that's what it's equivalent to. The voice, the sign, it's just like scripture to us. And the Lord says in the word, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. So God is giving proof to his people that Moses has the authority to speak on my behalf. And he's, you know, you watch TV, and especially now the election is coming up, and they tell you all these things that they can do, what they want to do. They'll say, I approve this message. You know, I can do this, that, and the other, and I approve this message. Well, the signs, the voices of those signs, is God showing that what Moses is saying, he approves this message. Well, actually, it will be Aaron, but God is backing Moses. And, well, I guess I better read the Aaron's position. Verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and I will teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he, shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. So God is accounting for Moses' shortcomings, which not like he was doing it on his own, but God will, he's removing excuses because he's the one that's doing this. When he says, certainly I will be with thee, he wouldn't ask Moses and Aaron to do something that he wasn't able to do. He could do it without them. But because Moses is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's using Moses in his role that we are looking at as a deliverer to the nation of Israel. We know that. We know that he can do it without Moses, don't we? And Moses should know that he could do it without him. He wants to use him. This is the great opportunity for Moses to be used. So he says, I'm going to be with thy mouth. I'm going to put you in a position of a guide to Aaron, and Aaron will be your prophet. And he's going to send them together. And he says to Moses in verse 21, chapter 4, verse 21, and the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh. See that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart that he shall not let the people go. This is something to note here. God sends Moses to Pharaoh. He tells Moses, you make sure that you do everything I tell you to do. You know what that's like? That's like when you go to an assembly, they read verses, and maybe they leave a couple of verses out to prove their point, or maybe they add some verses to prove their point. God says, you do everything I tell you to do. Nothing more, nothing less. That's where the power is. God is backing Moses to do according to what he says do. Verse 4:22, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Now, this is the whole purpose of bringing the children of Israel out. They are to worship and serve God as his firstborn, to work with him, to carry on, we'll say, to carry on God's business. So God sends Moses to tell Pharaoh to let Israel go. He's my firstborn. He doesn't work for you, Pharaoh. He works for me. So now it's time for you to let him go, that he may serve me. And he's given him the signs and he's given him all the assurance that he needs, that he will be with him. Verse 23. I'm going to read this because we kind of talked about this before in passing, but I have a thought about this passage here. Verse 23. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And it came to pass, by the way, in the end, that the Lord met him, sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone, and cut off the foreskin of her son, and cast it at his feet, and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. What we're looking at is where Moses is met in the way, and the Lord sought to kill him. Not Moses, but the son. Moses' firstborn son. And I thought, this seems kind of out of place, doesn't it? Where he's just told Moses to go to Pharaoh, tell him to let my firstborn go. And if you don't let my firstborn go, I'm going to kill your firstborn. And then he brings this up with his son, with Moses' son. Moses' son was not circumcised, which he should have been, as Moses being a Levite. And we talked about this, Johnny and Karen, after one of the classes. He should have circumcised Gershom, but he didn't. And one of the things God said is that if he's not circumcised, he will be cut off from the people. I think here that if Moses had any doubt about how serious God was about killing Pharaoh's firstborn, all doubt was removed with this incident right here. Because God is not only saying that I'll get Pharaoh if he doesn't let my people go. He says, I'm going to show you how serious I am. You didn't circumcise your son, and I'm going to get him. Luckily, I'm sure Moses would have done it, but his wife circumcises the son and throws the foreskin at Moses' feet. Kind of like, you should know better. You should have done this. You should have done this already. Now, I don't know how old his son was in this passage, but I see that as God showing Moses how serious he is about his firstborn being separated to him. That's just
what's the significance that it was Zipporah, and she's a Midianite, right? That she's the one that did the circumcision.
I don't know. Moses didn't do it. We talked about that. I don't know why him being a Levite, why he didn't practice that. Although he was 40 years removed from his family, he's in the wilderness, but he's still a Levite. He should have known those things. So I don't know why it was his wife and not him.
But you're right. It is kind of a strange interdiction of events.
Well, it could be just her way of showing subjection, because she's a Mennonite to Moses' new age, the age of law. So it could be an act of submission.
That's a good point.
Well, that's something to think about, because Moses, he should have done it. He should have been the one that was submissive, and he should have circumcised his son.
Let me just say that he had been away from his family for 40 years and everything, and perhaps Moses had just moved on from everything he knew before.
That's the way I see it, Johnny, in some aspects of Moses forgetting what he was actually called for. That's how God gets his attention back again. He catches him in the wilderness. He has this bush to get his attention. And he says, you may have forgot, but I didn't. He says, now you come now, and I'm going to send you back to Egypt. Now is time. So he kind of reminds him, and Moses has a son while he's in the wilderness. Let me put it this way. The pandemic has altered a lot of our activity. So you don't meet with the people that you normally meet with. You're not as exposed to a spiritual meeting, I would think, as in the past. So when you're away from people that hold you accountable, then you start to do some things or not do some things that are not so godly. I'm not talking about you. I'm saying some people in general. They may begin to practice things that they didn't practice before. They may begin to expose themselves to some things that they didn't expose themselves to when they had teaching, doctrine, godly people to keep them in line or hold them accountable or to encourage and admonish them. Would you say that that's a strong possibility?
Yeah, that's plausible. But I also think that, you know, remember Moses was raised as an Egyptian. He knows all those customs. He had not been around Jews for some time. And the Midianites are not Jews either, or had the same customs as being a son of Abraham. So he could have been careless. That's true. But I don't know how much influence he had. He believed God, but I don't know how much he was subject to God until he saw that burning bush. So it's hard to know.
Yeah. And like I said, we can throw out different scenarios. It's all conjecture. It's just a strange, like I said, strange passage. And sometimes questions get you to the right answer. And so we know he didn't do it. That's a fact. We know it needed to be done. That's a fact. We know that he was his firstborn. That's a fact. We know that God is serious about circumcision. That's a fact. And that got his attention of how important this firstborn being separated is. And the reason I say that is because if God says to Moses, tell Pharaoh, if you don't let my firstborn go, I'm going to kill your firstborn.
I wonder if there's some significance to the fact that twice it says, a bloody husband thou art.
I don't know. But that's something that we can think
we
of.
We can marinate on if we want to. If we want to expend the energy.
That's right. In our own studies, we can go on forward with that. That was just my thought, where he's getting Moses' attention that I'm serious about this firstborn separation. Okay? So you can go back and check that out. Verse 4:28. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. The signs is what I'm after. When Moses and Aaron showed the signs to the children of Israel, they believed. This sets the basis, the foundation, for the nation Israel being a sign-believing people. In the Gospels, Jesus addresses them. He says, except ye see signs and wonders, he says, you won't believe. Well, they've been conditioned that way. They've been brought up that way. God proves to them that he's among them. God proves to them that he is visiting them. By the miraculous, by the supernatural events, by the signs, the miracles, and the wonders, he validates not just his messengers, but he validates the time of visitation by those things. And this is where we left off last week, somewhat. We quoted John when he sent his disciples to Jesus to ask him if he was the one that should come, or should we look for another? Luke. We'll go over there, Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, let's start at verse 11. A little more to read, but it'll get us to that point. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they said, and they that bear him, and they, and he came and touched the bier, and they that bear, that bear is a bear, isn't it? And he came and touched the bier, and they that bear him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, that great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. You see that visitation? How did they know that God was visiting them?
They saw their signs.
In this case, what sign did they see in this particular case?
They had the power of life and death, or had the power of life.
Yeah, it's right here. He raised the man from the dead. He raised this man from the dead. Young man, I say unto thee, arise. Remember when he says, I go to wake Lazarus out of sleep. And they said, Lord, if he sleep, he doeth well. And finally he said, Lazarus is dead, guys. He says, but I go to awake him. They didn't believe that he was able to do it. But here. Verse 16, and there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God had visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. That's fame. His name preceded him. And the disciples, 18, and the disciples of John showed him of all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So this visitation, just like Moses, is going to be accompanied with signs. In Jesus' day, he tells John's disciples, go tell John about the signs, so he'll know that the right visitor is here. The right visitor is here. Who is the visitor? Isaiah 35 says the visitor is God.
What chapter and verse in Isaiah?
Okay, Isaiah 35. I guess we'll go there. Isaiah 35.
Well, I can look it up. I wasn't sure. I got the 30. I've got it. I see it now in my notes. I missed my own notes.
Well, we'll go there. Isaiah 35, just for reference here.
Confirmation.
Yes, Isaiah 35, verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and comfort the feeble, and comfort the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. This your God will come. That's the visitor. That's the visitation. You know how you can tell if God is... If the healers today are legit, you know how you can tell if the miraculous signs that you see today or hear about today are legitimate? You know how you can tell if the visitor is really here today? How can you tell? Jenny says, Paul. How can you tell that the visitor...
If the things that only God could do were happening.
If the things that only God can do were happening. So I ask you, is the visitor here today?
Are you asking today, or in John?
Today,
John's voice?
Today, 2023. 11/5/2023. Is the visitor here today?
No.
Johnny says no, Annette.
He dwells in me.
I was going to say he's here in me because only the things he's done in my life could be the power of God.
Well, that's the Holy Spirit, of course, but I think what Frank's really going is God through a person doing miraculous
right.
things in
the public. I understand. It's just it's a subjective question as to how to answer it.
Yes, David, that's exactly what I'm asking. Is the miraculous events being worked through a person today to validate God's visitation? Everybody says, not everybody, you turn on the TV and they say, we got a visitor today. He's here to do the miraculous. I feel the presence of God in this place. It's time for your healing. It's time for your miraculous, whatever they're waiting for.
It's your season to harvest.
Yes. The visitor's here. So, and that's why I asked you, is the visitor that they say is here today, is he really here today? The proof is in the pudding. And we'll go back to Exodus. That's why God gives Moses the signs, and they bowed their heads and worshiped. They believed because they saw the proof of it. That's why John has a question. He says, I'm supposed to be saved. We're supposed to be delivered. And I'm in prison. Go ask him, Jesus. Go ask Jesus. Is he the one that should visit? Or are we looking for another visitor? And the Lord says, you go back and tell John what this visitor said. Tell him the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf speak, the dumb, the blind, I'm healing. Go tell him this is what this visitor is doing. And John could put he can put it together. So God sends Moses back to Exodus. God sends Moses to the people and he sent him to Pharaoh. He says, make sure that you do all the things that I command you. These signs are, according to Exodus chapter 4, these signs, chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, these signs are voices. These signs speak. They are going to speak to not just the children of Israel, they're going to speak to Pharaoh. So Pharaoh is going to have the opportunity to hear and listen or hearken, or he'll have the opportunity to hear it and reject it. Just like we hear verses, read verses, we take them, we either heed to them or we don't. As Paul says, that the word is life unto life to some and death unto death to others. It's all based on how you respond to it. Chapter 4, verse 30. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. Now that the Lord is visiting, now they can expect to see the miraculous take place. Right? Yes. Chapter 5, verse 1. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus said the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their burdens get you unto your burdens? And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. So Pharaoh's making it even harder for them. We talked about that last week. Verse 5:22, after Pharaoh takes away some of their resources, and Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. So Moses is questioning now, what happened to the visit? You said you come down to deliver them. What happened to the visit? Chapter 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. So now God says, now you're going to see what I can do. Now Pharaoh's going to see who I am. Verse 28. And it came to pass in the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? Verse chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt, and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. Aaron and Moses, they are ready. God has told them, Moses, you are a god to Pharaoh. Jenny put that post up. She put Paul. I asked the question, how do we know who the visitor is today or the time of visitation? But she put Paul on there, which we know that now God is speaking through Paul. So when people say, well, you are exalting Paul above the Lord, because that's where our instruction comes from today, Pauline instruction, you can say, which would be hard for people to grasp, you can say that God hath made Paul, I won't say a god to us, God hath made Paul a spokesman on his behalf to us. That's what Moses is. He's a spokesman on God's behalf to Pharaoh. So when Pharaoh rejects Moses, who is he really rejecting?
God.
He's rejecting God. When people reject Pauline doctrine today, who are they really rejecting? They're not rejecting us. They're not rejecting the preacher. What'd you say, Jenny?
They're rejecting God.
They're rejecting God because God has given him the authority to speak on his behalf. Verse chapter 7, verse 9.
Didn't the Lord say that whomever I send, that they receive you?
Yes.
Yeah. I know I butchered that, but you know what I was trying to paraphrase.
I do. That's in John, yes. He that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. That's a scripture-wide principle. Chapter 7, verse 9. When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle. Show a miracle for you. Then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Now, how, and we're not going to read all the signs that Moses and Aaron perform, how God hardens Pharaoh's heart is by presenting the signs. God hardens Pharaoh's heart just by speaking to him. The voice of the sign speaks. The demonstration is God saying, I am who I say I am. Let the people go. He does it to make Pharaoh. He does it to make Pharaoh accountable. The only way you feel accountability is you recognize that the person has more authority than you. You know, we talk about the kids of this generation that they have no respect for authority. They don't listen to authority because they don't recognize them as an authority. So you have Pharaoh with his pantheon of gods behind him. And then you have Moses saying, I have a God behind me. One. I have one God behind me. Pharaoh has a multiplicity of gods. So naturally he's going to say, who is the Lord that I should obey him? Not one of my gods. I'm doing pretty good over here in Egypt. Your people are serving me. I think my gods are got the upper hand here. So Moses, he's got to deliver, doesn't he? Moses' God has got to show up. As they say, Johnny, he's got to show up and show out. And that's exactly what God told Moses. He says, I'm going to show up now to Pharaoh, and I'm going to show out. And afterwards, he's going to let you go, and with a strong hand. Verse 7:14, and the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. So you go through, we won't read all those, but you go through chapter 8. He says, I'll do another plague with the frogs. In verse 15, but when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. God knows what Pharaoh's response is going to be, but the key is, God speaks, and Pharaoh, he hearkens, listens, or he doesn't. And we'll find out, well, you'll find out as you read those things, you'll find out that Pharaoh's response is just like it's 15 all over again. He hearkens not. Verse 8:19. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. Even when they can't do something that Moses and Aaron does, Pharaoh, verse 19, his reaction is still the same. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Verse 8:32. God gives the plague of the flies, verse 32, and Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also, neither would he let the people go. Chapter 9, verse 7, you have the plague of the cattle, and Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. Chapter 9, verse 11. And the magicians, this is the plague of the boils. You can go back and read the details of it. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. Now he does this over and over again, all the way until the last plague, chapter 11, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. Some of the Egyptians, they listened. They saw what was happening, and they listened. Look back at chapter 9, verse 20. Well, let's start at verse 18. Let's start at verse 17. As yet, exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go? Behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle, and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the house. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. You figure after so many voices, after hearing all the voices, seeing all the signs, seeing these things happen, some of those people began to listen and they regarded the word of the Lord. And yet some of them still didn't listen. One of the things that Pharaoh's servants said to him, let's see if I can find this verse. They said to Pharaoh, how long are you going to deal with this guy? Let him go already. Maybe it'll come back. I'll find it. But we're back in chapter 11, verse 4. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. So the plague of the firstborn, this is the last one. This is the last one that Pharaoh's going to see. And this is God showing that he is above all the gods of Egypt. That he is, when he says, I am, he's able to counter all Pharaoh's gods, the power behind his deities. He's better than all those. I think if you look at those plagues that took place, the Egyptians had a god that represented each of those plagues that should have protected them against those plagues, but they couldn't. Remember when Jethro was blessing him in Exodus chapter 18, Exodus 18, verse 7, Exodus 18, verse 7. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and did obeisance and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare. And they came into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who had delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. What did the Egyptians deal proudly in? Their gods. They assumed that their gods, especially Pharaoh, that their gods would protect them from all hurt, harm, and danger. Johnny, and protect them from all hurt, harm, and danger. Well, that didn't happen. But the Hebrews' God, he did protect them. And he showed them, he said, I'm going to protect you so that they may know that there's a difference between me and their gods, and there's a difference between you and the Egyptians. My firstborn, their firstborn. Those who worship and serve me, those who worship and serve Pharaoh. We'll see who's greater. Turns out that Jehovah is greater. When the children of Israel come out of Egypt, the inhabitants around, they already know about them. Remember in
Rahab.
Yes. Rahab says, we heard about you. Well, she didn't say it exactly that way, but they heard about it. They heard about what God had done to the Egyptians. Their reputation had preceded them, and it was all because of what God had done for them coming out of Egypt. When he talks about the name, that's the name. That's the authority, the power and authority that Jehovah had among the nations. Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2, start at verse 7. Joshua chapter 2, verse 7. And the men pursued after them the way of Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were going out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, these are the spies that came in to Jericho, and Rahab, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. So here's the lady, and not just her, but everybody, they knew about these things. They heard about these things. I think in Nehemiah, it says that when the Lord came out of Egypt, that he did those things to get him a name. To get him a name? Well, he already had a name, didn't he? He told Moses, he says, this is my name forever.
Yeah, but the people needed to know his name.
Exactly. So he was able to demonstrate that he was everything and anything that they needed. At that name, they could have confidence in that name. But because they didn't get that lesson, Blake, they go through the wilderness and they soon began to question that name. They said, is the Lord among us or not? As they begin to look back, we'll read one verse and then prepare for next time in Exodus 32. We're jumping a little bit ahead, but we'll go back and fill in some blanks. In Exodus 32, verse 1, and then we'll close out with this. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people broke off the earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. Now, just a side note, all that jewelry, all the gold and silver and all the materials that they spoiled the Egyptians with, those materials were gathered so they can make a tabernacle for the Lord to dwell among them. And Aaron is telling them, Aaron of all people is telling them, do you take that? You take that spoil, give it to me, and this is what he did with it. And all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. After he made it a molten calf, and they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. That quickly they forgot. And this is what they did. After seeing all those miraculous demonstrations, after hearing the voice of the Lord, seeing what he did to Pharaoh, singing the song of Moses, that's what they do. Moses, and he's going up to get more information for them to do. And in that interval, 40 days, 40 nights, that's all it takes. Pretty bad, isn't it?
Pretty bad. Oh, man.
So we'll stop there, pick up next time. We'll fill in some blanks and continue on. So we'll stop there. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for recording these things. We pray that our time was edifying, that it was encouraging for the saints. And we just thank you again for the opportunity we have to read and study and to be a part of your purpose and plan. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.